All right, let's get started with our next speaker, Wilts Wood, and the title of his presentation is Impact of Leaf Hairiness and Planting Date on Tarnished Plant Bug Lygus linearis.
Thank you very much for that introduction. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, my name is Wilts Wood. I'm a second-year master's student at Mississippi State University under the advisement of Dr. Jeff Gore and Dr. Angus Ketchot. Today, I'd like to discuss some of my research with all of you that deals with the impact of leaf hairiness and planting date on the tarnished plant bug. Cotton has been a major part of the landscape in the United States for a very long time, namely in the Mid-South. But in the recent years, that landscape has changed. The graph you see pictured before you shows the amount of cotton planted in states outside of the Mid-South as well as in the Mid-South. Now, we see a decline beginning at 2006, and that's initially due to commodity prices. Cotton was down, corn and beans were up. It was more profitable for a grower to plant those other crops. But recently, I'd like to point out that you see in the past few years that in states outside the Mid-South, cotton has rebounded, being planted back at historical levels, while in the Mid-South, cotton has still remained low. And that can be attributed to the input cost of the tarnished plant bug, which is the number one cotton insect pest in the Mid-South. And this graph depicts those costs excellently. On the x-axis, we see about the past 25 years. And the y-axis is the cost in dollars per acre. Now, pre-BT days and before the boll weevil eradication, the highest amount of cost per acre we see is a little over $80, about $85. But in the past few years, we have been at or above that historical high, and that is even with BT technology and the boll weevil being eradicated. And that can be due to numerous things, such as the resistance that the tarnished plant bug has gained, along with the number of insecticide applications that must be made during the growing season to keep this pest suppressed. So we are currently at an unsustainably high amount of cost per acre for a grower. And I want to use something that Dr. Ketchot used in a talk a couple months ago. And he had a picture, and it was inside of a grower's truck. And in the upper left side of that windshield, there was TPB written in shoe polish. And Dr. Ketchot saw it for a second, and Dr. Ketchot asked the man what it meant. He said, it stood for tarnished plant bug. And he said, I want to see that every single day to remind myself why I'll never plant cotton again. And that holds true, and that's kind of sad that it's such a high cost can be attributed to one pest that can make cotton just unpleasable and unpalatable for a grower to plant. So that's a justification for my research. Now, the first objective I would like to focus on is to determine the effect of leaf pubescence on the tarnished plant bug. Experiments were conducted at the Delta Research and Extension Center in Stonewall, Mississippi, which is in the middle of the Mississippi Delta. Three separate varieties were planted, a smooth leaf variety, which was Delta Pine 1050, a semi-smooth, which was Phytogen 499, and then a hairy leaf variety, which was Stonewall 5288. A randomized complete block with six replications was designed for this experiment. Plots were sampled once a week, and we used various sampling methods. Prior to flowering, we did 25 sweeps in all plots to determine tarnished plant bug populations. Then once flowering began, we took two drop cloth samples within each plot to get tarnished plant bug densities. Then also, we did note above white flower counts, and then also once a week, we did square retention. We did square retention by looking at the upper three nodes of a plant and looking at the first position squares and counting the number of outside squares on that plant. And we looked at about 50 squares total in all plots, so it averaged out a little over 15 plants per each plot that we would look at to get square retention. And then lastly, no insecticide applications were made to this trial at any point during the growing season whatsoever. Data were analyzed with analysis of variance, proc mix, with an alpha of 0.05. I'm going to shift on to the results. This shows the mean number of nymphs for two drops. Now, the LSD grouping you see is for all sampling data throughout the trial, but due to a point that I want to make here in a second, I only picked these couple of sampling dates that you see along the x-axis. I'll get back to that in a second. And then the y-axis shows the number of nymphs for the two drops. The hairy variety had between 15 and 20 nymphs for two drops, and it was significantly higher than the smooth. And then the semi-smooth was not different than the other two varieties. And then the smooth leaf was significantly less than the hairy variety, and on average kind of sat between 5 and 10 number of nymphs for two drops. Now, I'll make this point. On the x-axis, you see the sampling dates, and it was about mid-July that this trial began to flower. So as you keep that in mind, and the number of nymphs that you see before you, keep that in mind as I transition to this next slide, which shows the mean square retention. On the x-axis is the dates, once again. Y-axis shows the square retention as a percentage of the squares retained in that plot. The hairy variety had most number of squares retained, hovering right under 90%, with the semi-smooth being significantly less than that, and then the smooth variety being significantly less than both of those. So I want to point out, as you see on the x-axis with the dates, that kind of the middle of the graph is when the flowering period began. So prior to that was during the squaring period when these, some of these samples were taken. And I really want to point out with the smooth leaf variety, we see a drastic reduction in the amount of squares retained during that squaring period. Then we see a bit of an increase after the flowering began. But when you keep that in mind, as we remember for the past graph with the mean number of nits per two drops, we believe that during that study, during the squaring period, tarsus plant bugs did a significant amount of feeding during the in the smooth leaf plots. And once flowering began, they stripped it just about bare and then moved over to the hairy leaf variety. So even though the hairy leaf variety had the highest number of nymphs, yet it still retains the highest amount of squares. Now, I'll make another transition. Well, sorry, one last point. Due to the differences in varietal differences in yield, I didn't include that, but this shows all too well what the final yield looked like. On the right side, you have the smooth leaf variety. On the left side was the hairy leaf variety. And the picture just speaks for itself. It was even more striking to see in person, but you can just see that the smooth variety is completely bare, while the hairy variety was just loaded down after being defoliated. All right, now we're going to make another transition to focus on my next two objectives. Determine when cotton is most susceptible to loss from the tarsus plant bug during the bloom period, and also determine the effect of tarsus plant bug on cotton maturity. Once again, these experiments were conducted at the Delta Research and Extension Center in Stoneville, Mississippi. Two planting dates were used, April 26th and May 28th. A randomized complete block with a split plot treatment arrangement and four replications was designed for this specific experiment. As a note, prior to flowering, the entire trial was sprayed to control tarsus plant bugs whenever they reached threshold, and that was to minimize damage during the squaring period. But my treatments consisted of insecticide applications being initiated or terminated at the second, fourth, sixth, or eighth week of flowering. Now, let me explain that a little bit better. For the initiation treatments, for example, for the initiation of the second week of flowering, all those plots did not receive a single insecticide application beginning at first flower. But once the second week of flowering began, those plots began getting sprayed once a week throughout the remainder of the flowering period. Then, as another example, for initiation of the sixth week of flowering, those plots did not receive any insecticide applications whatsoever beginning at first flower, but at the sixth week of flowering, they began getting sprayed weekly for the remainder of the flowering period, and so on for all the other treatments. Then for the termination treatments, all of those plots began getting sprayed once a week beginning at first flower, and then they were terminated the subsequent weeks of flowering. So for example, for the termination, the fourth week of flowering, those plots began getting sprayed at first flower. They're sprayed every single week, once a week, until the fourth week of flowering. Then those treatments were terminated. Those plots did not receive any more insecticide applications whatsoever for the remainder of the growing season. Also, there was a season-long and a non-treated control. We used, once again, various sampling methods. Two drop cloth samples were taken in all plots to determine tarsus plant bug populations. That was done twice a week. And then once a week, we did note above white flower counts and square retention, just like we did in the previous trial that I discussed. And lastly, we did sequential harvesting to show cotton maturity, show delay and advancement in cotton maturity. And we did that by marking off 3 meters in a single row of all plots. And whenever a specific planting date had open bowls throughout the entire plot, we would go into those marked 3-meter marked areas and once a week harvest all the open bowls out of those specific 3 meters. And we did that every single week until there were no more open bowls within that marked off area. Then I would take that back to the lab and then count out the number of bowls and get a C-cotton weight yield for each week that the plot had to offer. The final yield data were analyzed with analysis of variance, proc mix, alpha of 0.05 was used. Planting date and treatment both had a significant effect on yield, but there was no significant planting date treatment interaction, so due to that, the sampling data was pulled together all across. We're going to move on to results now, and this shows the sequential harvest results for the initiation treatments. It's a bit of a busy graph, so now let me set it up for you real quick. Along the x-axis, we have the week that the sample was taken. On the y-axis, we see the C-cotton weight shown as a percentage, and you can track along the graph the amount that specific week attributed overall to the weight. And the legend shows our treatments And this, is once again, is the initiation treatments along with the untreated control and the season long. I want to point out that season long is the white line, and we're going to treat that as our standard. So anything you see to the right of that line shows a delay in maturity. Anything to the left of that white line shows an advancement in maturity. We see no real major delay in maturity. However, we see with the 6th and the 8th week of the initiation treatments and the untreated control, we see almost a full week advancement in maturity. Now we're going to shift on, same setup. This just shows the termination treatments. And once again, the white line is our season long. We see no real delay in maturity. However, we do see that the termination at the 6th week of flowering and the untreated control have an advancement in maturity, but not quite as much as we saw with the initiation treatments. And then lastly, this is the final yield for the trial. Once again, x-axis is the week of flowering, and the legend shows whether it was the initiation treatment or the termination treatment, so you can follow it there. And then the y-axis shows the pounds and lint per acre. Season long, once again, is our standard, and it yielded just under 1,200 pounds. Then for the initiation treatments, the initiation at the 2nd week did not yield significantly lower or different than the season long. However, when we go to the next treatment, which is the initiation of the 4th week of flowering, we see a drastic and significant yield loss when compared to the season long or the previous initiation treatment. And then each of the following initiation treatments yielded significantly lower than that 4th week, but not different than the untreated control. And then for the termination treatments, we see that the 2nd week of the termination treatments did yield significantly less than the season long. However, the following weeks of the termination treatments did not yield significantly different than the season long at all. So in summary, the hairy leaf variety had the highest tarnished plant mold population, yet the smooth leaf had the highest amount of damage. And then postponing insecticide treatments during the flowering period will not delay cotton maturity, which is contrary to popular belief. Now research shows that damage received during the squaring time period of cotton, that can cause a delay in maturity because the plant then has time to compensate and it takes longer for that plant to mature. However, with my data, it shows that damage received during the flowering period will almost cause an advancement in maturity and could potentially cause a week earlier to physiological cutout just because there's so much damage received it does not have time to compensate for that feeding that the tarnished plant bug has conducted on that plant. Then lastly, greatest yield losses were observed in the first 4 weeks of flowering. So tying all this together, what this all means is there is a correlation between leaf pubescence and tarnished plant bug feeding. Some more experiments are going to be conducted here in a couple months, and we're going to kind of get to the bottom of that and figure what's all going on there. Then delaying tarnished plant bug control during the early bloom period caused significant losses, and it is this time that thresholds should be strictly adhered to. So if a cotton grower or consultant is hovering right around the threshold, and normally they might let it ride, they're within that first 4 weeks of flowering, go ahead, make the application, clean them up out of the field, and prevent any yield losses. But also, my data shows that at the 4th week of flowering, when no insecticide applications are made whatsoever, there was no significant yield loss. And I don't think I'm really ready to quite condone that. I don't know how well that would go over with a lot of growers, but I can say we can maybe hold looser to those thresholds, potentially lessen the amount of applications that need to be made that could save the grower some money, and in turn also reduce the amount of selection pressure we're putting on these tarnished plant bugs, which would have multiple benefits we would see in years to come. So with that, I would like to thank my summer work crew, fellow graduate students, my committee members for their generous and excellent advice and help, and then also the Mississippi Cotton Producers for the generous funding to make this project possible. And with that, I have some time for questions, I believe. Yes, sir. Okay. The question is, how do we quantify the trichomes? How do I pick those varieties? Is that kind of basic? Perfect. Thank you. So the question is, how do we pick these varieties? How do we kind of quantify the trichome counts? Lots of hours sitting under a spider mite lens counting them is how it was done. But we planted 8 different varieties in the greenhouse this past winter. And I've pulled the 2 leaves from 10 different plants of each variety, and I used a spider mite lens, which is a 1-inch square, and I got the average number of trichomes per each variety, and that's how we picked. And if I remember right, the Delta Pine 1050 was about 90 trichomes per square inch, Phygian 499 was sitting on 250 to 300, and then Stone 5288 was around 400 to 500 trichomes per square inch. So thank you. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Okay, you just showed the open leaf population, or is it 80 or The two big challenges was getting things smaller and costing higher than the team before the NIM over here.
All right, yes, sir. The question is, do we take into consideration the install of the nymphs, the size? No, sir, for this specific trial, we didn't. If it was a nymph, no matter if it was, first through fifth instar, we just counted that as a nymph, and then we separated nymphs and adults. But no, sir, we didn't do small, medium, large nymphs or anything like that for this trial. Any other questions?
All right, we're out of time. If you have another question, feel free to visit with them afterwards.